was my phone.
Oh no.
Okay.
All right. Back to Golden Gate Primitive Baptist Church. I'm Elder Daniel Montgomery. And with that, we'll turn the meeting over to Elder Jerry Anstey.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Certainly appreciate the opportunity of being together one more time today. The Lord has abundantly blessed already this day and again last night. But we pray that this being the final service of the series of services, that the Lord will see fit to just draw us unto him and bless us one more time by his mercy and by his grace. We're pleased this afternoon to have Elder Joel Holder from Little Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Bellflower, California. We'll ask Brother Joe to word our prayer here in just a moment. Also to have Elder Eugene Thrower, the pastor of Harmony Primitive Baptist Church in Houston, California. And we'll ask Brother Gene to close the series of services in prayer after Elder John Wallace Thrower, who we are so blessed and pleased to have with us this afternoon, the pastor of Glorious Kingdom Primitive Baptist Church in Oakland, California. We'll ask Brother John to preach for us this afternoon. I would ask everybody to please be in much prayer, that the Lord would just get a hold of this dear brother and bless him by his grace and give increase to the message this afternoon to his honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give the Lord all the honor, praise, and glory. Brother Joe, would you please word our prayer?
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for so many mercies and blessings in our lives that come our way, and we're so busy with the fret and the stuff of life that we often fearfully miss the realization that you're there and blessing. We think, as we ponder the turmoil of our present circumstance, of so many of your children who are bewildered and confused and discouraged. We pray, Lord, that you would be a ready help for each of them in their seasons of need and hurt. You are greater than any crisis. You're stronger than any virus. You're able to supply our needs from your riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would give comfort and guidance and a sense of your power and direction and protection to those who lean upon you and call upon you for help during this season. Father, today, as we turn from our various activities to hear your word, we pray that you would endow Brother John with the anointing of the Spirit, give him conviction and clarity of word and heart and thought, that he would be able to speak a word in season to those who are weary today. Words that would give guidance and direction and purpose and a renewed courage and joy to those who seek your face. Bless, despite the circumstance and the separation we experience, bless us to reach out to each other. Bless us to remember each other, pray for each other, and hold each other up in support and prayer as we deal with the issues of our present circumstance. Bless Golden Gate Church and the effort they invested for this meeting, and bless them for the blessing it has been to us. We have so many needs, yet you are the great supplier who can meet them all. And we thank you for them and ask that you would be kind and thoughtful to us in our many needs. Bless again as we come into this hour of service, that your name be magnified and that we be instructed and enriched in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, God be with you.
Thank you. Thank Brother Joe for those words and the prayer. I've enjoyed today, both the sermons today. The Lord really blessed us, and I hear that he was really with you last night. I haven't heard that sermon yet, so I got to go back and hear it, but I've heard a lot about how good it was. I pray that that same God would be with me and just use me a little while for his glorification and your edification. I want to call your attention to the book of 1 John 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. My subject won't be from there, but I want to talk a little bit about it anyway. 1 John 1, verses 3 through 8. It reads, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I read for your hearing four verses of the book of 1 John. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In these few verses, John writes the necessity of fellowship. He talks about fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with one another. And he said that these things that we're writing to you, I'm writing them so that your joy may be full, so that the end of fellowship is complete joy. Complete joy. So if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, he says we're a lie. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It sounds like this word fellowship is a very powerful and necessary word in our relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with each other. It also appeared that the lack of godly joy in a relationship can point to the lack of fellowship. So what is this thing called fellowship? I mean, we know it when we see it. We know it when we feel it. I mean, a lot of us right now, at being sheltered in place, at home, away from the church that we love, the members and preachers that we love, and although streaming is good, and some people even watch TV streaming, but I can't fellowship a TV. I can't walk up to that TV, shake his hand, and hug it. There's something still missing. The word fellowship means a partnership. It's a contribution. It means contributory help, participation, and a sharing. But the other thing that it means, which is deep, is communion. It's a bond. It's a spiritual fellowship. And then when you look at both Thayer and Strong's, both of them talk about the Spirit being the beginning. So if we look at the beginning of John writing here, he said fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son. He did not mention fellowship with the Spirit, because there is no fellowship without the Spirit. So in order for you to have fellowship with the Father and the Son, you have to be quickened by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that's dwelling in you that gives you that ability. Now, what happens in order for us to have fellowship? What are the things that we do that build fellowship? Because if you look at the world today, if you look at the anger, the confrontations, the getting upset, then we see that fellowship is missing. It's not just missing in the world. If you look in many of our homes, we'll see the same thing. Whether it's raising the children, between mothers and fathers, between in neighborhoods, between sisters and brothers, because fellowship is bigger than the thing that divides us. It has to be a communion that's going on. Fellowship is a very powerful thing in any relationship. It holds the relationship together. It's bigger than words or deeds or offenses, because those things can break us apart. But as long as we have a strong bond of fellowship, we're going to stay there tied to each other. Satan loves it when we're in these times. And what I mean by that is Satan loves when we can look at the world and all the confusion and the struggling and the lack of joy and the lack of peace. Satan loves it. Because somewhere Satan is going to find somebody that wants to be in charge. And what I mean by that is the only way that you are ever in charge is to break fellowship with God. You have to break fellowship with him. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Now, somebody might say, well, how do I do that? Well, ask Jonah. God told Jonah that I want you to go down and preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah felt all you're going to do is you're going to forgive them anyway. They're going to repent. You're going to forgive them. And if you're going to forgive them anyway, why do I need to go all the way down to Nineveh? So Jonah, scripture said that Jonah went down to Tarshish. Watch me now. And then he went down by the sea. And when he got down there, he took a ship and went down into the bottom of the ship. And then Jonah, as the ship got on rough waters, then Jonah, they found out Jonah's the one that was causing the turbulence, and they cast Jonah overboard, and he went down into the depths of the sea. He got swallowed by a whale, and the whale took him all the way down to the depths of the sea. So my point is this, when you decide that you want to be in charge, whether it's my marriage, whether it's my relationship in the church, whatever it is, you, in order for you to be in charge, you've got to break fellowship with God. You're not in charge. God will not be number two in nobody's life. We can ask Isaac the same question. God told Isaac that I want you to stay in the land of Gerar, and I'm going to bless you there. I'm going to fulfill in you everything that I promised to your father. And Isaac, what happened is the people in the land of Abimelech, Isaac was blessed so much that Abimelech told him, you need to leave here. Well, wait a minute. God told you to stay there. Abimelech told you to leave. Isaac left. And he went down into the valley of Gerar, and he started digging wells. But the men, the herdsmen in the valley, started striving with his herdsmen. So he had to leave there and go down into another part of Gerar. And then the herdsmen there started striving. He continued to go down there until the Lord met him at Beersheba. And then where he was blessed. When we don't walk in the light of the Lord, when we don't do the things that God wants to do, all we are going to do is go down. So fellowship is a powerful thing. If we look at our nation today, the single thing missing in our government with the people, no matter who's in charge, we love to sit back and say, this one did it or that one did it. How do we build fellowship? What are the things that I have to pay attention to if I want to be in fellowship with my husband, with my wife, with my church, with the Lord? What do I have to do? That one word is going to be my thought. And the subject is going to come from the third chapter of Colossians. The third chapter of Colossians, because Paul touches on every aspect of fellowship and the relationships that we have. First, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. In other words, if I want fellowship with the Lord, my mind cannot be on what's going on down here. My mind has to be on heaven. So I need, if I'm risen, if I've been born by the Spirit of God, then what I need to do is I got to seek the things which are above, the commandments, the words of God. I got to walk in his light, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Paul summed it up this way. He looked at it and he said, but what things were gained to me? I'm an intelligent man. I've accomplished a lot of things. I was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. If I want to make God number one, it means I got to sacrifice. I've got to give up something. It costs something. So he said, and the reason that I'm doing it, Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith through Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why, Paul? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. These are the things that we have to do. And Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I'm not looking at what's going on around me. My desire and my focus is to do that which pleases God, whether it's in the church, in my neighborhood, in my home, in my family. God has to be first for me to maintain fellowship with him. So he said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. What do you mean by that, Paul? In the resurrection, I'm going to be quickened in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I will be made complete and perfect, but I don't want to wait until the resurrection. I want to experience the resurrection here in this life. So he says, I haven't attained it. I'm not already perfect, but I follow after. Every day I'm looking at myself, trying to find out where can I walk closer to the God, the Lord. What things can I do to be closer to my brothers and my sisters? Then he said, if that I may apprehend, I want to lay hold, apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, he lets us know, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. We can never be satisfied doing God's work. We can never be satisfied with things just the way they are. We always have to be looking at ourselves, reaching and pressing to make fellowship between us stronger. I tell people many times, whether it's a marriage, whether it's raising your children, even in your church, your relationship can die. You have to pay attention to it. A relationship, you can wake up one day, and when I first joined the church, I thought it was this way, and now all of a sudden I don't feel that way anymore. Fellowship is a partnership. Fellowship means that I got to put something in order to get something out. But it's important because fellowship is a communion that exists between husband and wife and brothers and sisters, fathers and children. Paul's going to talk about all of them in this chapter. So he said, forgetting those things that are behind. Why are you forgetting what's behind? Because as a natural man, we like to rest on our laurels. And we feel like I've done enough. You're not done, and no retirement plans here. You're not done until the Lord calls you home. So Paul said that I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fellowship also means, in verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I have a tendency to say when I'm preaching, I wish I could make you understand what I'm saying. Well, this week I done had three people that call me and tell me how difficult some of the things that the scripture says is to do, and I have to tell them Satan wants you to think it's difficult. But God says that the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not hard. Why aren't they? Because God never asks you to do anything that he doesn't give you the ability to do it. I'm going to say that again. God never asks you to do anything that he does not give you the ability to do. So when Satan makes you think the commandments of God are hard, it's hard for me to set my affection on things above. It's hard for me to make God first in my life. No, you just got to try one day at a time. And the more you try, the stronger you're going to get at doing it. So when you start looking at fellowship, it begins first. If you then be risen with Christ, you seek things that are above because your fellowship begins with the Lord. Second, number two, set your affections on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. It is amazing when I talk to people sometimes. And what they do is they find right in the wrong that they did. And they love to look at the other person. And I say, you know what? That's nothing but Satan. Nothing but Satan. Why would the Lord tell you, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably among all men, and then turn around and make you think that in order for me to make people listen to me, I got to be confrontational. I got to get angry. That's not God. That's Satan, church. That's Satan. You set your affection on things above, not on the things that are of the earth. In verse 3, he says, the reason that you have to do that is because if you want to have fellowship, you got to realize that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So what it means is that I have a natural life, and every day that natural life is fading away. I have aches and pains today that I didn't have yesterday. But you know what? I have another life. That natural life is dead. And there is a life that is hid in me, which is spiritual life, that is hid with Christ in God. And that spirit is renewed day by day as I walk in the light of the Lord. The more you walk in the light of the Lord, it's like I tell everybody, we are shut in. We don't know when this is going to be over. But in everything that's a trial, that's a conflict, there is also an opportunity to make God stronger in your life.
You can make up your mind right now that while I'm shut in, I'm going to meditate on his commandments day and night. I'm going to start reading his books line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to look for opportunities to help somebody instead of put somebody down. And the more you do that, Jesus said, any vine, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Any branch in me that's not bearing fruit, my Father, take it away. But if you bear fruit, he says, I'm going to purge it. What do you mean, Lord? The more good that you do, the more you manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the more God blesses you and enables you to bear more fruit. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Fellowship. Then he says, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Paul said on one occasion that we're confident. And I say, willing rather, we are cheerful in our present state of life, being assured of a future happiness. Sometimes we look too much down here. If you want your fellowship with the Lord to be strengthened, stop looking at where you are down here. Look at where you're going. I know that everything down here has a beginning and it has an end. But the things of God are eternal. There is no beginning or end. And that's what I'm looking at. And I'm confident that while I'm down here, I'm just on my way home to glory. I'm on my way home. I heard somebody say once, after I finished preaching, they say, you know what? There's people died, but nobody ever told us how it was. Nobody came back and told us. I said, that's really not true. Samuel came back. And Samuel told a woman, why did you bring me back? He let you know that he was most satisfied where he was. So you can't say that. No one has come back to tell us exactly how it is. Then our Lord told a story about a certain rich man and a beggar. A beggar had sores all over him so bad that the dogs had to lick his wounds, but the rich man would never have helped him. And he said, and then when the time came, the beggar went on home to glory. His name was Lazarus. But the rich man, he went to hell, and he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fed from the rich man's table, but the rich man never would give him anything. You say that I don't know how it is. What I do know is that heaven is way better. Somebody said it's far better than where we are right now. And if I want to taste heaven down here in this life, then I need to work on the fellowship with my brothers and sisters, fellowship with husbands and wives, fellowship in my community, fellowship with my church, and doing my part to make my church what it needs to be. And the more you work on it, the scripture tells us the end result of fellowship is joy. It's joy. Verse 5, he goes on to say, he lets us know, first he looks at the fellowship that we need to have with the Father. And now he begins to look at the fellowship that we need to have with one another. What? What do we need to do? He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate and affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify. You need to kill the desires of your flesh. If you want to walk in the light of the Lord, it means that I got to give up my own desires and put God's desires first. I need to raise my children that way. When I look around today and I see the churches, and it seems like the children have kind of faded away, that they leave from us and they go somewhere else, I'm not going to try to figure out whose it is, but what I do know is the scripture teaches us that we need to raise our children line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We need to have a bond with them that lets them know that they need to also focus on their fellowship with the Lord. And he said, for which things sake, when you do these things, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In other words, he's letting you know that when you walk not in the light of the Lord, there are consequences for it. Verse 7, church, he says, and bear with me a little while. He says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. In other words, every one of us, before we were born by the Spirit of God, we walk contrary to the will of God. But after we have been born by the Spirit, we know the things that we need to put off and the things that we need to put on. We know exactly what we need to do to have fellowship one with another. Verse 8, he said, but now you also have put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why do I need to put these things off? Because these are the things that destroy the bonds that exist between us. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. The scripture tells us that whatever you do in word or deed, you do all of it in the name of the Lord. If my words don't please God, if my actions don't please God, somewhere fellowship is going to fall apart. He goes on, church, and he said, if you want to have fellowship one with another, don't lie to each other. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. There are some things that you need to put off which concern the old man. And there are some things that you need to put on. Fellowship with God means that I need to put off my natural desires from the old man. Verse 10, he said, and you have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put him on. Walk in the light of the Lord. What is this new man? How do I put him on? Scripture says that when you've been quickened by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gentleness, meekness, faith, long-suffering, temperance, and patience. If I want to have fellowship, I got to exercise those things in my life. Those things get stronger and stronger in my life. In verse 11, he said, where there is no Greek, nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision. There are neither barbarian nor Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in you all. When fellowship is broken, it means I want to be the one that's in charge. I want to do what I want to do at any cost. It doesn't matter. And that's called covetousness. There's no fellowship in covetousness. Because I want to do what I want to do, it doesn't matter who I hurt. Verse 12, he said, and listen to this. Pay attention. If you want to have fellowship, you know that you're the elect of God. You know that his son came down here in a mean world for 33 long years. He hung, he bled, and he died for you. And then looking out at everybody that put him there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you can feel that stirring in your heart, if you can feel the songs, you feel the prayers, every now and then you hear the preacher preaching, and you get lifted up and made to sit in heavenly places, then you know I'm an elect child of God. Well, if you're an elect child of God, and you want fellowship, Paul says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. In other words, in any relationship, as husbands and wives, and he'll get to that later, as mothers and fathers, as children and parents, church members and pastors, deacons and officers in the church, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Then he goes on and he said, I want you to do something else. In verse 13, he said, if you want to build fellowship, you need to forbear one another, because fellowship is bigger than the deeds and things that you do. Forbearing one another and forgiving each other. I hear people say a lot of times, well, I forgive, but I'm not going to forget. I'm glad God don't do that, because you didn't forgive if you didn't forget. In order to forgive, forgive means I send forth, I put it away. If you didn't send it forth or put it away, then you did not forgive. The scripture tells us, as Christ forgave us, we ought to do the same thing. Did Christ remember? He said he sent your sins away to never, never land. That was the scapegoat that went out to the wilderness, never to come back or be remembered. So he said, forbearing one another and forgiving each other, if any man have a quarrel against any, Lord have mercy. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And no, it's not hard. God's commandments are not grievous. But if we want to walk in the light of the Lord, if I want to have fellowship with the Father, if I want the joy in the relationships that I have in the church and everywhere else, then I need to do the things that God says, because he already told us that the end of fellowship is joy and peace. So if I see confrontation, if I see arguing and fussing and fighting, then I know that fellowship is not there. How you know it, Lord? Because when Jesus got ready to leave here, he told the disciples, I want you to go tarry at Jerusalem. And I want you to just wait till you be endued with power from on high. It was confusion there. They were not functioning as one. But then they waited. They waited 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, 40 days. And on day 50, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind that came up in that upper room there. And the Spirit lit on them as cloven tongues, and every one of them knew and understood what the other one was saying. They had fellowship with the Spirit of God there. Well, what does that mean to us? God is not the author of confusion. If I look out my house and I see confusion, if I walk down my neighborhood and I see confusion, if there's confusion in my family, God is not there. He's not the author of confusion. But where there is joy and peace and love, God is going to be in the midst of it. And what Paul is doing here is, I want to tell you how to have that joy and that peace and that love. It is to walk in the light of the Lord. Because if you say you're walking in the light and you're in darkness, then you're a liar and you're not going to have that peace. Forbearing one another, forgiving each other. If anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And what if I don't have no quarrel? We're ministers of Christ. We are ministers. And as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, we need to constantly keep ourselves prepared to minister with our brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something else. Every single one of us, God is going to give you opportunities to minister to somebody. You just need to be prepared to do it. You look, God is always going to give somebody, keep somebody in your life for you to minister to. Then he said, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is the glue. Charity is the cement. Charity bears all, hopes all, endures all. Charity believes all. You know what else he said about it? Charity, the love of God, the divine love that exists in you, it will never fail. It goes hand in hand with fellowship. Verse 15, he said, and let the peace, I hear people say all the time, I can't find no peace. Can't find no peace. Well, verse 15 said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. How do I let the peace of God rule in my heart? You ever just wake up in the morning and you depressed? You ever just wake up in the morning and upset about something? You don't even know why you're upset. When you get that way, it starts in the mind. That's where Satan attacks you. Because if he can get a hold of your mind, he got you right where he wants you. So we have to keep our mind in a position that I can let the peace of God rule in my thoughts and in my actions. Book, chapter, and verse. That's why I tell people, you have to pay attention to what the preacher said. You need to go back and search it for yourself. And then you need to meditate on it day and night. Every one of us wants fellowship. The relationships that we have, we look for fellowship. We yearn for it because God made us that way. We have to have fellowship one with another. But God has to be at the top of that fellowship. Verse 15, he said, and let the peace of God rule God's peace, not your peace. There's a peace that Satan will give you. He told Eve, did God really say you're going to die? He loves to get us to question the Lord, because once you break that bond of fellowship, he knows you're walking in darkness. Let it rule in your heart, to the which you are called, and be thankful. Sometimes I don't have nothing to be thankful for. You're going to break fellowship with the Father. I woke up this morning. I've got a fair portion of my health and my strength. My wife is not well, but she's better today than she was yesterday. I have to give up life. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know how I'm doing with this sermon, but I've had them come to me and say, Elder Thrower, I just enjoy your preaching so much. Then I had a sister yesterday that told me, she said, now I know why you preach the way that you do. Because on Sunday when you had to preach, you always had to have your cell phone there so that you could see how your wife is doing. If somebody called you, you needed to be watching because you knew your wife was at home by herself. And then they said, but now we can see you don't pay attention to no cell phone no more because my wife is here in the other room. I don't have no excuse for not being able to preach the word of God. I got no excuse for not being able to prepare myself to preach the word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. None of us have any excuse not to be in fellowship one with another. We need to put down fussing and fighting and start looking for the peace of God. We need to walk together, sing together, shout together, and pray together. That's what I love about the fellowship that we have right now in California, that I feel like any one of the ministers, if I pick up the phone and call that minister, he's going to be there to lend a helping hand. And I know by the same token, I'm going to be there. Why? Because God is first. I'm walking in the light of the Lord, and I can't walk in his light without being concerned about my brother and my sister. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're lonely, I'm lonely. That's fellowship. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It don't matter how low the valley is. It don't matter how high the mountain is. It don't matter what I just went through. In fact, tomorrow I may be dead and gone, but if I die, I'm going home to be with the Lord. And if I live, I'm going to praise the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Somebody asked me once, what do you mean by psalms? Psalms were the songs that they wrote, and they sang them. They sang them with instruments. Then they had hymns. Hymns were songs of praise, where God had exalted you, where God had delivered you. Then they had songs that were personal testimonies that they called spiritual songs. So the hymns were talking about the praise and the exaltation and the glory of God. The spiritual songs were testimonies of things they had been through. And the psalms were things that were written back in David's day when David put music to it. But guess what? God took that music away. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes or nothing, but God told Amos to take the music out. I do not read in the New Testament where God ever told anybody to put it back in. Why? Because if I'm in fellowship with God, when I start to sing, I'm not singing to man. I'm singing to God. When I sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm thinking about myself and my relationship with God. Where's the music coming from? It's coming from my heart. The melody is coming from the inside. God said, I can't be worshipped by things made with the hands of men. You want fellowship? You do things the way God said do them. Don't question God. Good God Almighty, we got more people that love to question what thus saith the Lord. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Verse 17, he says, whatever you do. Now listen at this. Before I say it, when I leave my house, I represent Glorious Kingdom Church. I represent my wife. I represent my children. Somebody's going to say, that's Daryl's dad. That's the pastor of Glorious Kingdom Church. But you know what? I also represent my fellow laborers that's on the gospel. I represent my brother. I represent Brother Jerry. I represent Brother Joe, everyone that I'm in contact with. When I leave my house and go out into the world, I'm standing there representing all of them. So then Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, make sure you do all of it in the name of the Lord. I don't want the Lord to look at me and I have to be ashamed of what I've done. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes, you're going to make mistakes. But that's why the blood of Christ is continuously cleansing you. If we didn't make mistakes, Jonah never would have got up out of that belly of the whale. If we didn't make mistakes and his blood don't cleanse us, then that thief that was on the cross, he would have died and wouldn't have been no need of looking at Jesus. Yes, we make mistakes. But when I make a mistake, I want to be in fellowship with the Father and I want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me the strength to rise up. And for God's sake, if you offend somebody in the church, if somebody get offended by you, don't be so high you can't go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to say, I'm sorry, and you might feel like I didn't do anything. But if the fellowship is broken, I'm sorry. I want God to keep us walking together and talking together. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. How am I going to get thanks to God in the middle of COVID-19? You want me to tell you how? Because being shut in, I got a whole lot of time to think about myself. I got a lot of time to think about the things that I could do better. I got a lot of time to think about how to be a better husband, how to be a better father, how to be a better sister, how to be a better brother, how to be a better child of God. I'm going to tell you something else. Even with COVID-19 here, don't get wrapped up in none of that stuff. It's got a beginning and it's got to end. They'll throw, I might not make it to the end. If I don't make it to the end, then I'm going home to be with the Lord. And that's far better than being down here. Thank him. Thank him as you live. Thank him that while you're here, you got a better place that you're going to be going to. He said in verse 18, wives. And I know this bothers some of us, but you let God's word be true and every man a lie. In fellowship, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fitting the Lord. But don't be bothered by that. Because in Ephesians, verse 24 and 21, he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we are all to submit ourselves one to another. Then why did he put particular emphasis here? Because God made the husband the head. Does that mean that my wife is not important? She walked right by my side. I know more about me than I would ever know because my wife knows me better than I know myself. So he's saying recognize what he has put, position that he has put the husband in, but all of us submit each other. But here come a bigger one. When you talk about fellowship in marriage, you husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Once you say I do, then you need to turn the whole thing over to God. I need to be the husband God wants me to be. I need to be the wife that God wants me to be. Why? So that I can build fellowship within my marriage. Because God may not join all of us together, but if I keep my marriage the way God wants me to, then he'll keep us together. I have to tell people all the time, I just finished being married for 50 years. There ain't no way that Sister Catherine Throw would be with John W. Throw if it had not been for the Lord. And there ain't no way right now that Brother John W. Throw would leave Sister Catherine Thrower. No matter how sick she gets, how ill she gets, I'm going to be here to take care of her. I don't know anything else to do. God said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And be not bitter against them. You want a wife to submit to a husband, then you love her as Christ loved the church. You sacrifice. Christ's love for us is a sacrificial love. That my wife needs to be the pillar in my life. Is she more important than God? No. God first, then her. As Christ loved the church. Man, that fellowship begins to grow. Don't be bitter against them. He says in verse 20, children, Lord have mercy. Talking about fellowship. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I had to go bless a baby the other day, and all I did is say a prayer, believe me, say a prayer over that child and the family to carry themselves the way that they should. But the brother and the sister don't talk to each other. In fact, after I left, they apparently got in an argument. And I saw her later, and I said, you know what? I couldn't be there and see that happen. There is no way that my son and my daughter are going to be falling out. It's not going to happen. They were raised different than that. There's going to come a time when each other, all they're going to have in this life is going to be each other. And then I told him that if I ever get over there and I see a brother and a sister sitting up arguing, I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to be quiet. I can't do it because you need to focus on the fellowship that the two of you have together. You need to obey your parents in all things. And this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. First of all, when you talk about fellowship, God said, children, honor your mother and your father that your days may be long on the earth. That commandment had a blessing and a curse in it. You be in fellowship with mother and father. And it didn't say if they're right or if they're wrong. It just said you honor mother and father that your days may be long on the earth. And I don't want to be upset with a sister and call myself a child of God. And then I don't know why God wrote this. Sometimes I wonder why God didn't ask me about some of this stuff that he wrote. First, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Why didn't he say, mothers, provoke not your children to wrath? There's something in a father. There's expectations that's in a father. And if we're not careful how we communicate with our children, we'll break the fellowship and the bond between them. We'll provoke them. We'll discourage them. So what Paul is saying, don't provoke them. Pay attention to the thing. They all not the same. The scripture said, train up a child in the way that he should go. You don't train them up all the same way. So don't provoke your children into rev. I tell people all the time, my son think he can conquer the world. Nothing is bigger than him. But my daughter for many years had a very low self-esteem. She was very frustrated with herself. She always felt that she wasn't as smart as anybody else. We found out later on in her life that it was because she had meningitis and it had destroyed her inner ear. It was not that she wasn't as smart as anybody else. It was because she was not hearing when she was sitting in school. And I would tell my wife, we can't treat her the same way we raised Daryl. We have to encourage her, let her win something, build up her confidence. That's fellowship. Don't provoke your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Verse 22, he says, and you servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I'm going to do the best I can on any job that I have. Whatever I lay my hand to do, not to please men, but to please God. I want to walk in his light so that when, let me tell you something else. I said earlier that God gives us everything we need in order to do his will. But then when we take everything that he's given us and use it to do his will, you know what he does? He turns around and blesses us for it. He blesses us for it. What kind of God is that we have? That he would take, I'm going to give you all that you need to do my will. And then when you do my will, you're going to be storing up treasures in heaven so that when you need me, I'll come in the needed hour. Obeying all things your masters according to the flesh, for this not what I service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, we talk about fellowship. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. If I pastor, I'm going to do it heartily. If I'm a bench member in the church, I'm going to do it heartily. If I call myself your friend, I'm going to do the best I can to be the best friend you got. If I'm a mother of a father, I'm going to do the best I can as a parent, not to please men, but to please my Father in heaven. That builds fellowship. Verse 24, he says, knowing that of the Lord. Lord have mercy, what did I say earlier? Knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord. I hear people running around and saying, complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about who's in office, complaining about who's not in office. You know what? God is always in office. And if I serve him, everything else works out right. He must be first. He's the one that gives me my reward. He's the one that keeps me. And the scripture said, if God don't keep the house ain't going to stand. My first object is to be in fellowship with God. Whatever it is that I do, because he will be the one that takes care of me. Last verse, church, and I'll get out of the way. Paul threw this in, because there's something in every one of us that desires to be in charge. There's something in every one of us that'll break fellowship in a minute when we follow after the deeds of the flesh. Paul said, I want you to remember one thing concerning fellowship. He that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. I don't have to worry about how you treat me. The scripture tells me that vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he's going to repay. I don't have to worry about the things that you do to allow me to get so upset and want to take things in my own hand. The scripture said that whatever you do in secret, one day God is going to bring it to light. All I want to do is walk in the light of the Lord. I'll be glad when we get back together again. I'll be glad when we don't have to stay 6 feet apart. I'll be glad when I can hug the faces and feel the tears on the people's face that are coming there to the church so glad to be there. All of us ought to have a hunger and a desire to want to get back. But when we get back, I mean get back the way God brings us back. Because when we first get back, we may have to watch what we do. We may have to watch how close we get. And don't sit up there and say, well, I got faith in God and God will keep me. God gave you a brain. Think with it. If the medical profession says we need to stay 6 feet apart, stay 6 feet apart. If the medical profession said that we need to wear a face mask, wear a face mask. Wear it. You do whatever they say, knowing that one day God is going to bring all of this to an end. One day we will get back in the church and we will sing together, shout together, preach together, and pray together and have the same fellowship that we had before. And you know what else? That fellowship, when we get back together, is going to be stronger than it was when they turned off the economy. Why? Because there's an appetite in me that can't wait to hug on the sisters and the brothers and those that come to the church. But until that time, I'm going to practice fellowship with everybody that I come in contact with. I'm going to practice lifting up the head that is hung down. I'm going to practice saying book, chapter, and verse, what thus saith the Lord. I'm going to practice letting people know, I know you're going through trials and I know you're going through tribulation here, but there is somebody that speak and his work is done. He gives a command and it'll stand fast. And until that time when he brings it all to an end, we just joy in the fellowship that we have one with another. I want to thank all of you for bearing with me for this little while. I hope I said something that'll help you while you're here.
Amen and amen. The only thing that I dare say after that sermon is to quote Elder John Wallace Thrower. I don't know how many years ago you said this. I wrote it in my Bible. You were preaching out of 1 John. And I wrote it in my Bible as quick as I could, so I got it right. Our bond of fellowship must exceed in strength above the cares and trials of life.
Amen.
Or our fellowship breaks down.
Amen. Amen.
My dear brother, you have just preached to us the strength and the bond of our fellowship. Glory to God.
Amen.
I love you, Brother John.
Love you too, Brother Jerry.
Love I'm all so thankful for the fellowship that we have.
I am too.
God has blessed. Let us build it. Let us strengthen it with all of our might. I'd be remiss. We had recently a brother that breathed out fellowship in his
Amen.
Ministry. Leave our midst. So instrumental in building fellowship.
Amen.
That we now enjoy. His labors have ceased.
They go on.
His work yet lives on.
Say it, Jerry.
Let us be mindful and careful to hold this fellowship that we have dear to our hearts and labor diligently, that when it's our time to cease from labor, our works might live on.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm so thankful as a pastor of Golden Gate Church that we have had this privilege of having these few services. The Lord has poured out his spirit upon the ministering servants that have stood before us and preached in much power. For that, I am thankful. I'm thankful that the gospel has gone out. I doubt seriously we would have had as many people that have heard these messages at Golden Gate Church if we'd had the meeting in person.
Amen.
I pray that we will in some time. But nevertheless, the gospel has gone out.
The gospel has
Amen.
Gone out. Amen.
Let us be thankful for that. Let us give God honor, praise, and glory for that. Let us pray for one another that we would be doers of God's word and not hearers only.
Not hearers only.
Before we bring the entirety of these services to a close while we're still public, Brother Daniel, I must thank you, my dear friend.
Amen.
For the effort that you have put forth in putting this together and using the skill that you have and the things you have learned to be able to facilitate this. I assure you, it would not have happened without your effort. Amen. Brother, I thank you for that. Golden Gate Church is indebted unto you. And quite frankly, everybody who's been blessed to hear these messages, I trust that we will be thankful for the effort of this dear brother that has given of himself to the glory of the Lord. He does it because he loves to do it. He's told me that repeatedly.
Amen.
But my friend, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And we give God all the glory for that. And and we really appreciate, as Brother John preached on, we appreciate the fellowship. And I look forward to coming out there and actually meeting all of you in person one day.
Amen.
We're going to hold you to that. It's on recording.
All right.
Brother Eugene, would you please unmute yourself? I see that you're there muted. There you go.
Yeah.
Elder Eugene, would you please dismiss us by prayer?
Please bow with me in prayer in your own manner. Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to thank you for the laying down last night and the early rising this morning with a fair portion of health and strength. I want to thank you for the fellowship. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you strengthen this fellowship that we have and just give us all that we have to keep it going and spread it, spreading the gospel throughout all the world. Even though, Heavenly Father, we are confined, the gospel still goes out. And for that, I am glad. And for that, I am thankful. I thank you, Lord, for today's message about fellowship. And I thank you for the messenger whom you have sent to preach your word. And Heavenly Father, if it be so pleased, allow us to have your peace, which surpasses all understanding. May it keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, as we're going through this pandemic, going through all the racial disturbance, going through all the protests, Heavenly Father, help us that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, Heavenly Father, enable us to think on these types of things.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
I ask in the name of Christ Amen. Jesus, all things for his sake. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you, Brother Eugene.
God bless everybody.
Brother Daniel, I'll let you close us off of Facebook.
Well, y'all, I've had a wonderful time with everyone here. And to everyone watching on Facebook, thank you for tuning in. And keep praying. We'll see y'all when we see you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.